We stand together as we sing this. Christian hymn 424. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life. Way of the cross I meet. Way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb heights sublime, soul is at home with way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it never more. For my Lord says, come, seek my home, where it waits at the open door. Way on the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. You be seated. Has never changed. The way of the cross still leads home. I appreciate that scripture that Brother Murray read. And that especially the one verse that says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. When he sees the blood, then the death angel passes over. I'd like to look, if you want to turn with us over to the book of Philippians. Philippians, the second chapter. I'd like to think about today, the way of the cross is not just another doctrine, but it's the way that produces a change in the hearts of the longing soul, the soul that is seeking God and wants to make it to heaven. Let's start reading there in the first verse of Philippians, the second chapter. Maybe before we read, let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, we're so thankful this morning for the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for each one of us. We're thankful, Lord, that through the blood that we can make it safely home. And we pray that thou will take the word and apply it to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to realize in a little clearer way what Jesus has done for us through the will of the Father and through the work of the Holy Spirit. We just pray that thou wilt overshadow with thy presence this evening, Lord, that thou wilt meld us, mold us, and make us into vessels that are fit for the Master's use. Have thy way, Lord, we pray. We give you all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. I just mentioned here, and as we look through these scriptures, that is the desire of God through the consolation of Christ and the comfort of love and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that we have the mind of Christ and that we are like-minded, that we are Christ-like. And may the Holy Spirit turn his big searchlight down on our hearts and just show us all the areas where we can move up and be more like him. That you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I don't know about you, but I can't fathom that. I can't grasp it. Why did he do that for us? How could he love us so much? The Father would send down his only begotten Son, and the Son would be willing to come down and to bleed and to die for us. And the way of the cross is the way that he speaks of here. He says that we be like-minded, we be one accord. And I think this, as we're drawn closer to God, it draws us together as a body of Christ, the body of Christ. And he said that nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And that's not according to the carnal nature. The carnal mind, this fleshly mind, that is the mind of Christ. That's the spiritual mind. The carnal mind wants to lift itself up. It wants to have its self-esteem. It doesn't want to be trod on by anyone else. But the mind of Christ, here he says, no vainglory, lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. And, you know, we can get into sort of a habit of having to sort of line things out. One person made this statement about those that were lower, those that were outcast, the ones that they sort of looked down on. I'm thankful that the mind of Christ, that God gives to every one of those that yield themselves to Him, that it sees people not just as an undesirable, lowly human being, but it sees them as a precious soul that is headed for the same eternity that we're headed for. And every one of us this morning, we all have sort of, you might say, our little world that surrounds us, what we see as we go through a day. And we have our struggles, we have our trials, we have our mountaintop experiences. But the Lord has promised us to go with us through each one of those places. I'm so thankful for the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for each one of us. We might have the mind of Christ and be in contact with God, be in fellowship with Him. Today seemed to be like one of those days that, you know, you start off thinking about communion this evening and wanting to have time to keep your mind, your thoughts upon the Lord and what He's done. And seemed like the day was just packed full all the way up. And finally I decided I shut everything down up here at the shop. I'm going home. I've got to get away. And picked my phone up to call my wife. Wouldn't work. Now what's wrong? And then a recording came on, and it acted like that I hadn't paid my phone bill. So I checked back, and the checks went through back on Monday for both accounts. I finally called them, and they made a statement that there was a call had gone through to police, and that it cost me almost $2 a minute. And I guess that was bothering them. They said if I would pay them $15, they'd put me on a better plan. It'd only be $5 a minute. They would reduce it from $125 down to $19. And I told them this has really been a bad situation. You know, with your business, you have people calling. You can't even call your wife. Your wife can't call you. We sort of get struck with these earthly things. We're so dependent upon them. I know sometimes you take off and all of a sudden think, well, I left it back there at home. I've got to get it. What if somebody calls me? But there's one thing that's important, and that is to have the precious blood of Jesus applied to our hearts. These other things, we're going to go through different situations. Every one of us probably today could tell a story of rough places and things that didn't work out just right. And hopefully a lot of us can tell of times when we've been alone with the Lord and fellowship, sweet fellowship with Him, and the blessed Savior as sitting at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, and yet the Holy Spirit dealing with us and speaking to us and encouraging us, even like the angel that was sent to Jesus when He was going through the garden and going through such suffering, that angel was sent from heaven to strengthen Him. And I'm glad today that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe His angels are still messengers to the heirs of salvation. And that means you and me. If we have an inheritance among those that are sanctified and those that are clean and holy and pure, then we also have the wonderful privilege of God's protection and His help and His encouragement. That doesn't mean we won't go through some rough places, but if we keep climbing the straight and narrow way that leads home, it's always going to be an upward climb. There's no descent as far as down the downward way. We may go through valleys, but it keeps leaning straight home. I had a song here, and I think that you probably all know it. This is, seems like it's a cry of the Christian's heart. (Clears throat) And I just wonder if you knew about this songwriter and what their life was like, you could probably understand a little better. He says, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. That's not a haphazard, casual prayer. That's a prayer that's coming from the heart. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. I don't know of anything that my desire would be more than that, is that he abides and that he's there and that he doesn't leave us comfortless. He said he wouldn't. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. And I believe that's the secret to a victorious Christian life, is to know that he is here, that he abides, that he reigns on the throne of my heart. And temptations will come to every single one of us. And we all have a lot of the same temptations, but they lose their power when Jesus is there, when he's there to help us. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. We don't want to get to sort of, when we're going through the good times, come to the place where we sort of get to coasting. And it gets maybe sort of easy and we're enjoying this. And we're on the mountaintop and we just like to build three tabernacles up here, and one of them just to be up there. And if we're not careful, we let down our guard, and that's just the moment that the enemy comes right at us and tries to stab us spiritually. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee every hour. Teach me thy will and thy rich promises. Just to know the will of God and the wonderful promises of God that will never fail, that we can stand upon them. And the key of faith that Christian found within his bosom, he remembered when he got off of the narrow way and got thrown into the doubting castle. Giant despair beat him horribly, and he was clear at the bottom spiritually, it seemed like. But God, I believe, reminded him he had that key of faith in his bosom, and he took that out, and he could enjoy the promises of God. That key fit every one of those big old doors that looked like had him hemmed in, and he'd seen the heap of bones out there of others that had got off the narrow way and had been beaten mercilessly by giant despair. And the giant was saying, that's where you're going to end up. That's where you're going to end up. But God's great key of faith got a hold of the promises of God, turned the locks, and it worked on those doors, and the doors went open, and he got out of Doubting Castle. Probably most of us can remember the times that you've just felt clear to the bottom. You felt like that you just hemmed in on every side. And yet then to see the power of God and how he worked things out, and just amazed at what God did. And it strengthens our faith and helps us to remember when we get in tight places in the future, that we can remember what God did for us in the past, and that he's not changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he'll help us. He'll give us victory. He'll show us the way. Praise the Lord. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. Thine indeed. It's a wonderful thing when he says that I am their Father, and they're my children. And we can say, we're his children, and he's my heavenly Father. What more do we need if we have him to guide us through this life that has been spoiled and soiled by sin, right back there in the very beginning? Sin passed upon all of us. Not a one of us can say that we never lived in sin and had sin. But thank the Lord, we can say that he has redeemed me from that awful place of sin. What Brother Murray was speaking about just a little bit earlier. Egypt represents the awful place of sin. And to those poor people that were down there serving slaves to an awful taskmaster, it looked like there was no hope. It looked like they were there, they were stuck, there was no way they could get out of there. But the power of God does what we cannot do. And when we feel like that there is no way, then if we'll look up and look to the one that has all power, God can give us victory. And the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. That's so personal, isn't it? That each one of us, you, whatever is bothering you, doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, middle-aged, whatever the things we're going through, we can put our name in there, that we need him. We need him, every part of us. We've got to have the help of God. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. And that's the invitation that he gives us, that the way has been made to heaven. The way has been perfected. And he said, if, even from the cross, that it's finished. It's all done. It's taken care of. The way has been made for us. And the invitation is to come and to partake of the good things that God has for us. If you have never entered in, if you don't know what it is to have fellowship with God and a relationship with the Lord, the privilege is yours. And we don't have to allow the enemy to beat us out of the way and say, like he used to tell me when I was a young man, well, others can, but you probably can't. You know, that's his secret. He'd like to say, they probably can, but you can't. God is well able. Looking back to the scripture, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I don't know of any greater example than what we have right there, where it says that he was equal with God. He was equal with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, one God, three in one, all equal. And yet Jesus came down and he took upon himself flesh and blood, just like what we have. And he went through some of the same things that we've gone through. The devil did everything that he could, and he even used scripture to try to get him to do things that were wrong. And yet he was a victorious example. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Christ every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And here it says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. brought back to my mind a time when I was riding the school bus from out where we lived between Rogersville and Springfield, and we rode it every day. We got on the bus, and we didn't have the privilege of going to a Christian school, so we listened. We tried not to listen to the rock and roll music that was going on and the filthy talk that was going on around us. And we rode to school, went through our classes, came home, and when I came home, got off the bus, I felt like a free man. And I let down my false face that I put on, clammed up all day long, going through a lot of these things, and did what I wanted to do. I blew off a lot of steam in the evening. One day, coming home, no, it was in the morning, I went out and got on the bus, sat down, and there was a big, heavy-set fella sitting over here that was, I don't know, probably a year or two older than what I was. And so we were getting ready to take off, and he looked over there at our house, and I looked over there, and the curtains were pulled back a little bit, and there was Daddy standing there with a Bible in his hand like this. He'd been reading the Bible. And he said, "That's your old man reading the Bible?" Sarcastically, he was making fun of me. And I hardly knew what to say. I was very quiet and ducked my head before I'd talk back then. But there was a very popular girl that was sitting sort of in front of me. And she was a nice girl, high-class girl. Now here we're talking about classes again. This rough fella back over here, his home was bad. And this girl, she looked over at him with her sharp face, and she said, "Well, if your old man would do that," in other words, "things would be better." She just, bang, like that. I wasn't expecting that. There wasn't too many on the bus, but there were several. And it sort of like hit him in the face. And so he growled out something. I don't know what he said. I can't remember. All I knew is she had stood up for me. She was in a higher grade than what I was. But she realized that this was a good thing. My father was standing there reading his Bible. And if a lot more fathers would be reading their Bibles and having their devotions, they probably wouldn't have broken homes or like this situation when the boy's father evidently was a drunkard in a home where there was horrible things going on there. But, you know, we don't want to be ashamed of Jesus, because we have nothing to be ashamed of. What God has done for us, He's made us a child of the King. Someone said, "You're a child of the King, and when you walk down the street, you can square your shoulders, you can put your chin out," and I don't mean get stuck up and proud, but be thankful that you're a child of the King, and that because of Him, you can live and enjoy, even when we're living in this awful desert, dry land of dry spiritually situation, we can still have the living waters flowing from deep within inside, the presence of God's Spirit dwelling within us and giving us the strength that we can withstand the onslaughts of the devil when he comes at us. And it's all because of the precious blood of Jesus, that He was willing to bleed and die for us, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so every one of us was headed for death without God, without any hope. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless as sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Hold forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I'd like to look then over into the book of Luke. And in the 22nd chapter, Luke the 22nd chapter. And remember, as we read here, we're talking about the ruler of the universe. We're talking about the one that controls the thunder and the lightning and the tornadoes. And I didn't realize that there were some that had gone so close. I guess at Macomb, one had gone through, and somebody called that had bought some buildings from us. And one of them took a pole building and a metal building, took both of them. You know, but for the mercy of God, they could have come down our way. Now let's read here in Luke, the 22nd chapter. And he did this for us. In verse 31, he was talking to Peter. And we could even put our name in there. He said, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. "And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both unto prison and to death." And I believe Peter meant that. I believe the spirit was strong, but he didn't realize how weak that the flesh was. And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." And he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." And then I think we'll look up to verse 39. "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation." You know, I don't know about you, but I think probably I wouldn't have near as many struggles if I would spend more time praying about whatever my problems are instead of trying to work out some situations that I don't know how to work out. I find out that whenever I start praying, get down in earnest with God and really plead the blood against the devil and the forces of darkness, that God can step down. And even like that little poem when it speaks about the person walking across the sand and all of a sudden they saw their tracks end. They thought the Lord had just left them alone. And he said, "No, he said that was the time when I picked you up and carried you. You couldn't stand it yourself. You were going through some rough places, and so I picked you up and carried you in my arms." And you know, if you and I can learn the secret of getting up closer to God, he's still alive today. He's still for you and me. We're all facing eternity. We're all facing something that we've never gone through before, and we don't know how soon it may be. Things happen that we don't expect. We're here tonight because the unexpected happened. But God's will is worked out. And so we yield ourselves to his will. But we don't know when we will be the one that unexpectedly maybe slips out into eternity. Well, he said he went out to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. I think there's a good example for us. I think we don't want to forget to learn how to humble ourselves before the Lord. And our heart, of course, has to kneel down in humility too. But I think we can kneel down in prayer, even as Jesus did, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. His flesh drew back, but his desire was God's will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Have we learned what it is to come to the place to where that we see one of our loved ones in the wrong place, and it so affects us that we cry out to God, we can't stand it in ourselves, and we forget about our eating, we forget about our sleeping, and we pray and hold on and keep praying and following the steps of Jesus until we seek for help from God. It seems like that we're sort of a sleepy church. I'm not just talking about this congregation, but all around the world it's a sleepy attitude. You know, we're comfortable. We're comfortable to know that we're safe. But what about the ones that are not safe? What about our family, our relatives? What about our friends, the ones we get in contact with every day? Can we grasp the fact that if they're not right with God, and maybe some of them even just have professions but are living a double life, that there's coming a day when there's going to be a big separation? He was in an agony. And praying more earnestly, in his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from the prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And I believe that that's the challenge. I believe that coming in contact with God will bring us to the place where we will realize we have to have his help. We can't get along without him. We don't want to be drifting along with the tide. We don't want to be neglecting the little things that will destroy us, the little foxes that will destroy the vine. Or we may be like Judas if we're not really sincere. Judas came with a good pretense. He even showed his supposed love by kissing the master. But Jesus said to him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And we know the story after that. Thank the Lord we don't have to be like that. Let's watch and pray. When we're weary in well-doing, let's pray and not faint. May the Lord help us tonight, that by the grace of God, every single one of us will have a greater determination to avail ourselves of the means of grace in loving our Bible, in loving the time of prayer, in loving one another with a love that the world can't have, that divine love that God can give us, each one as his children. Let's kneel in prayer.